Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you today from Hollywood, the fourth of a series under the auspices of the University of Judaism, the West Coast branch of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's transcribed program, in celebration of the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, presents excerpts from a remarkable book, Anne Frank, The Diary of a Young Girl, adapted for radio by Meyer Levin.
My daughter Anne and her mysterious diary. How we used to joke with her about letting us peek into it. She began it on her 13th birthday, June 12th, 1942. She called her diary Kitty.
Dear Kitty, I woke up at 6. By a 6:45, I could control my curiosity no longer and went into the dining room, where I received a warm welcome from Moshe, our cat.
Moshe, quiet.
Otto, she's up already.
Come then, let's surprise her.
Happy birthday,
Andy.
Oh, you angel. Now I can open everything. A book, Tales and Legends of the Netherlands. My favorite subject, legend.
Happy birthday, little sister.
Oh, it's from you, Margot. Oh, thank you. Oh, this beautiful brooch. Mommy?
It's from both of us, dear.
Oh, the flowers. Monopoly. Another book. A diary. Now I have a real confidant.
I thought you confided everything to your best friend, Lee.
Of course. But I mean, you know, the things you can't tell anybody.
The secrets of a young girl's soul.
Not that our little Anne was reticent. Indeed, she was famous for chattering away, as she called it, 9 to the dozen. Especially in class. One day, at the end of school term, I took her for a walk.
I even passed math, Papa. Of course, my report is not as good as Margot's, but she's a genius.
You know, Annie, we may soon go into hiding.
Oh? But why on earth speak of that already?
Because we must. You know, we have been taking food, clothing, furniture to other people for more than a year now. We don't want our belongings to be seized by the Germans, but we certainly don't want to fall into their clutches ourselves. So we shall disappear of our own accord and not wait until they come fetch us.
But, Daddy, when would it be?
It came that very week, the knock on the door.
Yes?
Mother, what is it?
I must find your father at once. It's a call-up from the SS.
We left at 6 a.m, each wearing several layers of clothing.
Daddy, I feel as though your hiding place were at the North Pole. Oh, Moshe. My Moshe, please, Daddy, can't I take her?
The neighbors will take care of her.
Now hurry, Anne.
Bye-bye, Moshe. No cats allowed in hiding. Besides, you're not Jewish.
Oh, Mrs. Frank, you're wet through. This way. The stairs are steep.
But it's just the back landing.
The bookshelves. Why, they're on hinges.
Mm-hmm.
Otto, you've hidden the door.
A secret door. Why, it's a whole little house in the annex of your office, Daddy.
Yes, and These two rooms will be for us. Upstairs, the Van Dance.
Oh, it's so dusty. I'll open a window.
No, wait, wait. Not in the daytime. Someone might notice. And we'll have to keep very quiet all day while the office is open.
No talking? Anne will stifle.
All those boxes go to the attic.
Daddy, you even brought my movie star collection. I'll cover the walls with them. That will make the place more cheerful.
I'd best close the doors now. The warehouse boys will be coming.
A week later, the Van Dance arrived. Their boy Peter came first. We tried to make it like one big family having meals together. For the seven of us, our good friends secured 5 ration cards. Illegal, of course. For quite a while, the children didn't seem to take to each other.
Dear Kitty, I still don't like Peter anymore. He's so boring. He squats lazily on his bed half the time, does a bit of carpentry, and then goes back for another snooze. What a fool.
From outside, news got worse. Terrible raids on the Jews. The BBC said they were being sent to Poland to be gassed. Meep brought us more news from outside. It wasn't good news.
The Germans ring at every front door to inquire if there are Jews in the house. Last week they took 5 truckloads. You know the Gosens?
These Gosens! My best friends! These! For all my girlfriends, and all Jews, and all those in need. Oh, God, protect Lise and bring her back to us. Lise, I see in you all that my lot might have been. I keep seeing myself in your place.
You must not torment yourself, Annie.
If I could only help her. Daddy, I am not more virtuous than she, and she too wanted to do what was right. Good Lord, defend her so that at least she is not alone.
To do what is right. In those words, I knew my daughter had found the heart of our religion. In her own prayer. Only nearby. It caused a short circuit.
Please light a candle, Daddy.
Everything is all right. We have only the Sabbath candles and in for Hanukkah.
They hit a plane. A plane is falling.
Please, I'm afraid in the dark.
After all, Anne is not exactly a veteran soldier. I'm sure the good Lord will forgive us the candle.
On Hanukkah, we tried to hold a small observance. Our friend Meep came, too.
But what will we use for a Hanukkah lamp?
At home, we had the most beautiful silver candelabra. And now the Nazis have looted it with all our beautiful furniture.
Well, behold, the practical man always provides.
Oh, what a handsome Hanukkah lamp. Congratulations, Mr. Van Dyne. So that's what Peter and you have been making in the attic.
Dad did all the carving.
Oh, I have all sorts of hidden talent.
We can't possibly use so many candles all the 8 nights.
Well, suppose we burn them only for a few minutes?
As long as we have the song, I think it is all right.
Perhaps there will be the same miracle as in the temple in Jerusalem. And the candle will burn for 8 days and nights.
Oh, how is that?
It's one of our most beautiful traditions. Once Palestine was occupied by the Syrians, like the Germans here. An underground army arose, the Maccabees.
Oh, like our free Netherlanders. Mm-hmm.
They drove out the Syrians. And when they came to cleanse the temple, they found only a little lamp of oil enough for one night. But it burned for 8 days and nights.
Anne, you're the youngest. Help me with lighting the candles.
Blessed be our Lord, who has kept us together here to light the candles of Hanukkah.
Children of the Mother Race, whether free or fettered, praise the Lord for all His grace, where ye may be scattered. Yours the message cheering, that the time is nearing, which we'll see, or when free, tyrants disappearing.
But the raids increased. Twice we were frightened by burglars in the warehouse, but we were not found. Worst of all, our food grew short and our tempers grew shorter. You see, Annie, to lose nothing of the potato, I take my knife in my hand like this, scrape from the top downwards. No, like this.
Oh, Papa, so serious. You have on your potato face.
Now this potato has the mumps.
Really, half of them are rotten. What shall we do?
The invasion seems as if it will never come. Putty, the British do nothing.
Oh, it is sure to come this spring.
Why aren't there any English air raids now?
Because the weather is bad, Carly.
But it was lovely yesterday and they didn't fly.
Well, let's not talk about it, huh?
I think the Germans are very strong and may still win.
Oh, hold your tongue, Donnerwetter, noch einmal.
Their quarreling, the Van Dyns, grew worse, and it affected Anne. They were now short of money, and Mrs. Van Dyn's fur coat had to be sold. But she wanted to keep the money to buy clothes after the war.
But, Carly, we need the money for food.
You want me to come out of here without a stitch on my skin?
At least if you come out with your skin.
Or tobacco. You wanted to smoke up my coat in black market tobacco.
Ah.
You stole my coat.
Daddy, perhaps shouldn't someone interfere?
Oh, it's just nerds. They'll be calling each other Pooty dear and Carly dear again in the morning.
Poor Peter. He must feel so miserable.
Perhaps that is how it began with Peter. She already had the profound womanly instinct to go to him and comfort him.
I'm not disturbing you, Peter. I'm just going to look for some books in the attic.
Oh, no.
It's so snug in your little room. I envy you a place all by yourself. Oh, what are you doing, crosswords? Aren't grown-ups idiotic and stupid?
Why do they have to quarrel all the time?
People ought to be intelligent enough to discuss things without quarreling. Let's make a compact, Peter. Never to quarrel.
Why should we quarrel?
It gave me a queer feeling each time I looked into his deep blue eyes. I could see on his face that look of helplessness and uncertainty as to how to behave. And at the same time, a trace of his manhood. With my whole heart, I beseeched him. Oh, tell me what is going on inside you. But whatever you do, don't think I'm in love with Peter. If the Van Dans had a daughter instead of a son, I should have tried making friends with her, too.
It was winter again. And to begin the year, our friend brought a cake inscribed Peace, 1944. All this time, the children were drawing closer together. They would sit in the attic, the only place they could be alone. Of course, remarks were made.
Is it suitable for young gentlemen to receive girls in semi-darkness?
Oh, we can observe a complete blackout if you wish. What do you think, dear?
Oh, they're both good children. I'm glad they have found friendship.
Do laugh, Anne.
Why must I always laugh?
Because I like it. You get such dimples in your cheeks when you laugh. How do they come, actually?
Oh, I was born with them. I got one on my chin, too. My only beauty.
Oh, I don't agree. I think you're pretty.
Well, Peter, I think you're quite handsome, too.
Oh, I suppose your family always gives each other a goodnight kiss.
One dozen. Why, don't you?
No, I have hardly kissed anyone.
Not even on your birthday?
Yes, I have then.
Oh, Kitty. Peter does so much neat tenderness. Now I know why he's always hugging his cat.
And then, of course, their first kiss.
Dear Kitty, yesterday evening I was sitting with Peter. It wasn't long before his arm went around me. At 8:30, he put on his gym shoes for his tour of the premises, and I stood beside him. How it came about so suddenly, I don't know. But before he went downstairs, he kissed me through my hair, half on my cheek, half on my ear. I tore downstairs without looking around.
At 9:30, Peter knocked softly at my door.
Mr. Frank, could you just help me with my English? I fit a difficult part.
Of course I'm coming.
Margo, that's a blind. Anyone can see through that.
What is that? Where's Peter?
Keep quiet. Where's the cleaver?
Oh, gee, be careful.
It must be the thieves again. They're all over the city, especially during the air raids.
Police! Thieves!
Gee, oh, why did he call out? Now we're in for it.
Quick, lights out. Everybody creep upstairs. We expect the police.
I shouldn't have shouted police. Someone outside must have heard me.
The burglars ran, but they left a big hole in the door. Some people passing outside shone a torch in. If they send police, we're lost.
Oh. They were right at the door.
Yes, and then they come back. All stay up here tonight. Sleep on the floor.
If it's the Dutch police, they may not give us away.
Unless an SS comes with them.
They'll find Anne's diary. We'd better burn it.
Not my diary. If my diary goes, I go with it.
She was no longer a child creeping to our bed during the raid.
Peter, you were really the bravest. We were never in worse danger than tonight. God truly protected us. Just think, the police at our secret door and we remained undiscovered.
If the invasion comes, we may still be bombed here.
What is the use of war? Why can't people live peacefully together?
It's the same answer. As why do grown people always quarrel?
Yes. Why do they still make more gigantic planes, still heavier bombs, and at the same time, prefabricated houses for reconstruction? Why do some people starve while there are surpluses rotting in the world?
It's the big men, the politicians.
I don't believe the big men, the politicians, the capitalists alone are guilty of the war. Oh, no, the little man is just as guilty. There's in people simply an urge to destroy, an urge to kill, to murder and rage.
You can't change the human race, and I don't care. All I want is an easy life after this. Maybe a plantation in the Dutch East Indies.
Oh, I want to be something. I want to be a journalist. Go all over the world. I want to write. To use this talent that God has given me. I want to go on living even after my death. And Peter, you need a goal to strive for. Why do you always want everything easy?
Well, if I was strong and plucky as you are, but I'm not.
I know. It's because you're young. And it's twice as hard for us young ones to hold our ground in a time when people are showing their worst side and do not know whether to believe in truth and right and God.
God? Don't make me laugh. You're not religious, Anne.
Why not? People who have a religion should be glad, for not everyone has the gift of believing in heavenly things. I can feel the suffering of millions. And yet, if I look up into the heavens,
I think it will all come right. That this cruelty, too, will end. And the peace and tranquility will return again.
Oh, what's wrong?
I couldn't get the potatoes. They've arrested our greengrocer. He was hiding two Jews behind his shop.
Did he know about us?
You must be even more careful. Don't forget, you're still Jews in hiding.
Look, Peter, it's a full moon.
Shut the curtain, then. It's too bright. We might be seen. We must be careful. Remember, we're Jews. Why Jews? Always Jews. Who inflicted this on us? Who made us Jews different from all other people?
It is God that has made us as we are. And it will be God, too, who will raise us up again. If we bear all this suffering, and if there are still Jews left when it is over, then Jews, instead of being doomed, will be held up as an example.
Well, not me. I've had enough of it. Who has to know who's a Jew when the war is over? They'll believe we're all dead anyway.
Would you really want to do that? Change what God made you?
You yourself said you wanted to be Dutch, if they will let you.
Of course. I love the Netherlands. I love the Queen, the people, the language, and the good Christians like Miep and Ellie and Cole Price and Crawler. But we can never become just Netherlanders, or just English, or just people of any other country. We will always remain Jews. We want to, too. Who knows, it might even be our religion from which the world and all peoples learn good. And for that reason, and that reason alone, we have to suffer now. God has never deserted our people, Peter. Right through the ages, they've had to suffer, and it has made them strong, too.
Then I am one who is not made strong.
No, Peter, I believe in you. You will gain strength. I have a goal. I have a religion and love. I know now that I am a woman with inward strength. If God lets me live, I shall work for the world and for mankind.
Open doors!
That was what our Annie said just after her 15th birthday. Our little Miss Chatterbox, our little Miss Quicksilver.
I want to go on living even after my death. And therefore, I am grateful to God for giving me this gift. The possibility of developing myself and of writing, of expressing all that is in me.
And our Annie lives. She lives forever in her words. Though her body remains in Bergen-Belsen, where she died in March 1945. 2 months before the Allied liberation. Receive her diary and to give my little daughter's words to all the world, to all mankind.
We take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Julius Fliegelman, member of the Board of Overseers and of the Board of Governors of the University of Judaism. Mr. Fliegelman.
The story we have just heard is based upon the best-selling book, The Diary of Anne Frank. The fact that a book written by a 13-year-old girl has captured the hearts and minds of a vast adult reading audience is a startling phenomenon. The reason must lie in their realization that this book is an affirmation of faith for our time. The period in which Anne Frank wrote was one of the most abnormal and cataclysmic episodes in human history. She achieved the unusual, a balance, a sanity, a healthy expectation for the future. This victory of the spirit renews our faith in the indestructibility of the human personality. It comes as a refreshing encouragement to each individual struggling against the confusion and the disintegration which follow in the wake of war, or of peace, which is not peace. This is the profounder meaning of the Hanukkah festival. 21 centuries ago, the Jewish people were living under a rule of tyranny parallel to that of the generation of Anne Frank. And in that day, too, men dared to dream, dared to maintain their identity. The celebration of Hanukkah centers around the rekindling of the flame in the temple in Jerusalem, a light which had been extinguished and replaced by idolatry. Jewish tradition relates that although only a small cruse of oil was found to rekindle the flame, this light burned for 8 days, miraculously renewing itself until new oil could be found. Similarly, the qualities of a dedicated character are not depleted by use, but rather renew themselves within the individual. Anne Frank declared, "If God lets me live, I shall work for the world and for mankind." Anne Frank did not live, but the spirit that illumined her life continues to live in the tradition embodied in the festival of Hanukkah.
Thank you, Mr. Fliegelman. Our Eternal Light drama today, Anne Frank, The Diary of a Young Girl, published by Doubleday and Company, was adapted for radio by Meyer Levin in celebration of the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Jeff Chandler was featured as Otto Frank, with Anne Whitfield as his daughter Anne. Today's cast included Jerry Gaylor, Joyce Manners, Dawn Bender, Joel Nestler, Florence Ravenel, and Paul Richards. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Robert Armbruster. Your announcer, Frank Barton. The production was under the direction of Andrew C. Love. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This program was the fourth in a series presented under the auspices of the University of Judaism, the West Coast branch of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, and came to you transcribed from Hollywood. NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.